Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Man, the only thing funkier than this had to have been a 24-year-old Mike Pritchard in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 1993.
Oh, whoa.
Probably
did
like
he have the gold on?
Oh, you know he had some gold. Maybe he had like a jumpsuit, maybe
Mr.
some hammer
double,
pants.
Double.
Mr. Double Double. Mike Pritchard, our freaking guy. What's up, Pritch?
Hey, man, I was elbows and knees all in Atlanta.
Love it.
How have you been, man? It's been a couple months since we've spoken to you. You've relocated. Tell our fans what you've been up to and what you got going on, man.
Oh, man, you know, it's been a whirlwind, really, guys. It's, you know, Vegas has got an NFL franchise now, Las Vegas Raiders, and I'm from Vegas, and I got the call that, hey, we'd love you to come back out here and cover your hometown team now and do some work with as an analyst with Las Vegas Sports Network. And so, I came back out to Vegas. You know, Colorado's still in my blood, man. I still get out there. But I think that to have this opportunity, I never thought Vegas would have an NFL franchise, first of all. But to have an NFL franchise here, man, I think it's just one of those monumental moments for this community, and certainly I wanted to be a part of that.
Well, that's awesome, and Mike Pritchard is joining us here. Mike, that's so cool. You're going to do a great job there, and hopefully we got a lot of football to watch coming up, and it's going to be a interesting season. Obviously, you know a lot about the Broncos. Now you're diving into the Raiders there. Pritch, I want to talk about your time at CU. What were your favorite and your best moments of your time for the Buffaloes?
Oh, man. Too many to name, really, Stoke. But I think from the first time I stepped on campus, certainly as a recruit and bonding with the fellas. Like, I was on the same recruiting trip as a guy, you know, Eric Bieniemy and Rodney Hampton and myself and George Hemingway and all these top running backs in the nation. And then from the time I stepped on campus and just bonding with those guys, as well as the existing team members of CU, all the way through until my final year there. I mean, I think that sums it up in terms of what I enjoyed. You know, we got there as recruits, and we came together instead of saying, you know what, instead of you going to USC or instead of you going to Pitt or you going to Nebraska or you going to Miami or, you know, all these schools that was recruiting us, why don't we come to CU together and win a national title? And that statement was made as recruits. And then lo and behold, you know, we signed, we spent our 4 years there, and we end up winning a national championship. So I think that just, that is just so magical to set that goal as 17-year-old kids and come out on top at 21-year-old adults. I mean, I just think that was incredible.
Pritch, real quick here, Zach, I'm going to jump in here. Why was it CU? Why did y'all say, hey, let's do it here at CU? What was it about CU? Why wasn't it, you know, USC or Texas or something like that? Why was it CU?
Right. That's a good question, because the first letter I got from CU, I put in the note box. I mean, I had letters from UCLA, USC, Arizona. I mean, all these top schools and top programs, and I didn't know anything about CU. So I think what happened, fellas, is they brought us in, Coach Mack brought us in while they were preparing for the Blue Bonnet Bowl. And we got to see a group of guys be excited about playing football. We got to see Boulder, Colorado. We got to see a lot of in-state talent within that program that was just so fever-pitched with emotion for that program. And for me, coming from Vegas, I wanted to be a part of that. And I think that was true for Alfred Williams. That was true for Eric Bieniemy. That was true for George Hemingway, Charles Johnson. I mean, all of us from different parts of the country. That was something that we wanted to be a part of, and that was something that Coach Mack had established there. So that's the best way to answer it. It was just something about that program, about that school, and at that time, something I wanted to be a part of.
We're talking with Mike Pritchard, the incomparable, our guy, Pritch, here on Legends Week, and what a great guest to have on. And then, so you have this awesome career at CU. You're the MVP of the national championship team. You get drafted in the very first round. You were the first player from CU, from that team, to be drafted, if I'm not mistaken. And there'd be many, many from that team that came after you. And you go to Atlanta, and you have a brilliant start to your career. I mean, you were just terrific as a Falcon. And then you get to come back to Denver, Colorado, when you're 25 years old in the mid-90s. But there's something that I never talked to you about. Your first year with the Broncos at 25, you got off to an incredible start to your season. Through the first three games, you're averaging like 90 yards receiving a game. And then it gets derailed. But in general, go back to that moment. Talk about the start to that season, what happened, and your experience as a Bronco.
Oh, man. Zach, you know, I was on cloud nine. I got traded back to Denver, and I got a chance to play with John Elway, right? And that's all I'm thinking about. And you're right. I mean, my first 3 years in Atlanta were pretty good. We got to the playoffs. Didn't get farther than that after that. Then the kind of team kind of fell apart. But when I got to Denver, it was surreal. You know, you're up the road, you won a national title, and now you play for the Broncos, a team that you watched go to three Super Bowls early on in my time at CU. So I think what happened to me was I lacerated my kidney after the third week in the season, and it just destroyed me, because you're right. I mean, I got off to a great start with John and the offense, and at that time it was Jim Fossil and Wade Phillips was the head coach. But when I lacerated my kidney, my whole future was in doubt. You know, I didn't know if I was going to play again. I didn't know if I was going to lose my kidney, and it was just devastating, but I was able to come back, man. I think through the grace of God, and then certainly, you know, just fighting back and being able to get back on the field, that was something that was important to me, even though at the time it was threatening that my career was over. But no, yeah, I just didn't get it started. I got it started, but I didn't continue it the way that I wanted to in Denver.
Mike Pritchard joining us here. Talk about playing wide receiver for John Elway. What kind of teammate was he? What kind of quarterback was he? I mean, what was that experience like?
Oh, man. So it was crazy. It was I went through a carousel in Atlanta. I mean, I think I went through four different quarterbacks, from Chris Miller to Bobby Hebert to Wade Wilson to Brett Favre. I mean,
well, Pritch, real quick, Pritch, real quick, sorry to cut you off. Could you understand Bobby Hebert in the huddle? How hard was that to understand what he was trying to say?
You know what? I could between spits. I don't know how somebody can talk and spit at the same time. So maybe you can enlighten me on that. But I don't know how somebody could. I mean, really, you couldn't understand him. But he would spit repeatedly, and then I was like, gross, at the same time as intense trying to understand the man. But really, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Bobby, that is stoke. You are too funny.
I mean, that guy's as Cajun coon ass as there is. I mean, he does a radio show down there, and it's I got to really sit down and put on my, you know, turn on the ears there to really comprehend some of the things that he says. It's just hard to understand the guy. I mean, he's got that accent. Go ahead, Pritch. Didn't mean to interrupt you there, buddy.
Well, no, you're right. It's thick. It was tough, man. But no, you know, I watched Elway play in college. You know, and those guys, the Broncos, would come up to Boulder and watch us play, and you just admired them from afar. And then, you know, when I first got back to Denver, Vance Johnson was on the team, and you know, the three amigos, yeah, reminiscing about that, and you know, just the nostalgia. I mean, catching a football from John was just easy. But I got educated, Stoke, and here's how. So when you go from a carousel of guys like I did, and then you get to John Elway, you know, we're in practice one day, and I run like a 10 to 12-yard in route, and he throws it on my outside shoulder towards the sideline. So I catch it, right? and I turn inside, I make a guy miss, and then the safety gets me on a tackle. And then, you know, 10, 15 plays later, we're taking a break, and off to the sideline, he says to me, "Don't have that air out, dude. Why is it coming in?" After I thought, like, "Well, I just caught the ball, and I was running inside to make people miss." Like, "Well, I threw it to your outside shoulder because I wanted you to turn outside."
Yeah.
And I was like,
next
what?
Level.
Wait a minute. You know, I mean, you can do that?
Right.
You
know, quarterbacks do that?
Yeah. You're thinking about throwing me the ball, you know, me touching it. But then also you're placing the football where you want me to go after you throw it. And that's just a different level that I had never thought of or never, you know, contemplated before. So he was just a different level, man. And you play with a great one with Peyton Manning that way, and those guys are just different that way.
Mike Pritchard joining us here on Legends Week, powered by Siltahar Motors. Mike Pritchard hanging out with us here live on Stokely and Zach. Pritch, what did you make of what the Broncos have done here this offseason and the total retooling of their roster?
I like it, fellas. I think they needed to upgrade their talent. And no disrespect to the fellas out there, but when you get a chance to get a Jerry Jeudy, I mean, I think you do anything you can to get that guy. You bring in Gordon, which I hope Lindsey, it fires him up even more, because if you have a fired up Philip Lindsey, you got not only a special player, but something to another level. I think he'll raise the level of his game going into a free agent year too. So, what the nucleus, the young nucleus with Cortland Sutton and Fant, I mean, Drew Locke, everybody's excited about him. That's where it starts, fellas. You got to be excited about playing the game. You got to be excited about playing with your teammates and not have any doubt. I think the Broncos had a lot of indecision and doubt the last few years, and it showed up on game day. But now I think you have a nucleus, a young nucleus that don't, one, they don't know any better, than two, they want to play for each other. So that could be special down the road.
Mike Pritchard joining us here. Mike, I got to tell you, you know, you like you said, you're out there in Vegas. You're going to be doing work and really breaking down the Raiders. And you mentioned Jerry Jeudy there. I was shocked that the Raiders went Henry Ruggs and passed on Jerry Jeudy. Now, we'll see how it all plays out. But for me, I think they made a huge mistake passing on Jerry Jeudy. What do you think?
I thought the same thing. I was doing a draft show with JT the Brick, and, you know, he's intimate with the Raiders, really. And,
right.
And the guy, he gave me some information right before the pick. He says, "Look, I think it's going to be Ruggs." And I'm like, "You're kidding me, Jeudy, he's right there. Why would they take Ruggs?" Right. But he's like, they want that speed, Pritch. They want that element on the outside that can help in a run game. You know, if it's a tight box, certainly the guy can run after the catch if they get the ball to him quick on some slip screens and stuff like that. They're excited about that. They're excited about the RPO stuff. So Jerry Jeudy was a can't-miss prospect. In my opinion, I thought he was the cleanest prospect, cleanest receiver in quite a while. But yet the Raiders, they just wanted something different. And Henry Ruggs is something different with that speed out there.
Mike, yeah, I mean, that's...
Oh, go ahead, Soap.
No, go ahead. I just thought you might have taken a break there.
No,
You still here?
My mic was off, you jerk.
Well...
Pritch, it's the same old Stoke. I mean... not much has changed.
Nothing has changed, man.
Hey, got to keep him on his toes. Got to keep him humble.
You do that. So, Pritch, talk to us briefly about the Raiders. I mean, this is the Broncos' neighbor, and you know, we hope that the Broncos can compete with a team like Kansas City, but the more likely scenario of the Broncos making the playoffs is getting one of these wild cards, and they're going to have to edge out a team like the Chargers or the Raiders. What do you make of what the Vegas Raiders have done this offseason?
I actually think they've improved by a large margin, fellas. I mean, bringing Littleton over, impact linebacker, playmaker on defense, that's going to help. And then you bring Prince Amukamara and Heath and some veteran presence that way. Rod Marinelli is a D-line coach. He was also a D-line coach out there in Tampa when when they had Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice and Derrick Brooks and all those guys when Gruden won the Super Bowl. So Gruden's trying to bring basically what he had in Tampa out here to Las Vegas with the Raiders. And he's dynamic offensively as well. You got Bowden. That guy averaged almost 8 yards a carry in the SEC at Kentucky, right? And then you got Josh Jacobs. If he didn't get hurt, he would have rushed for 1,300 yards.
Yep.
They got the number one offensive line in football. So I think the biggest question mark for the Raiders is Derek Carr. Can he raise the level of his game? Can he get a couple more levels higher? If he can, I think there's a lot to be excited about the Las Vegas Raiders. Defensively, I think they're searching for some more playmakers. Clowney has been floated. But they feel good about their drafts the last couple of years, and they feel good about the young talent as well.
And real quick before we let you go, Pritch, what is the sentiment around a Raider Nation when it comes to Derek Carr?
Oh, man, it's different, Zach. I'll say it's dead, man. Compared to Denver, compared to the fever pitch of Drew Lock, compared to other cities you talk to about your quarterbacks, man, it is dead. It is. I think because the Raiders have not won a playoff game since 2002, and so Raider Nation is spread out across the country, across the world, really not really in Las Vegas yet. But in Vegas, man, it is lukewarm to dead when it comes to Derek Carr, because you just don't know what he's going to produce this year.
Well, you know what? I hope that community that you're from out there in Vegas totally wraps its arms around the Raiders. I think National Football League is in a better place when the Raiders are good. And Vegas, although it is a transient town and people come and they go, in the metro, there's like between 2 and 3 million people there that would love a team of their own. And I hope that you guys just swallow them up with love, and you know, as much as, you know, we root against the Raiders here in Broncos country, you know, from a economic standpoint and everything for that town, I think it's a good thing. So I hope it goes great.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I hope we have a season. What do you guys think, man? What are you guys hearing?
So,
well, I'm not hearing anything. I think it's going to be shortened at some point. I don't think it's going to be a full season. I hope I'm wrong. I want to see some football. Hopefully it doesn't all just get washed away. I think in the end it gets delayed and it's a shortened season. And hopefully we get some football, Pritch, and we get playoffs in the Super Bowl. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, that sounds good to me. I mean, college football probably isn't going to happen. And then if we get some fall sports, some winter sports, I mean, that would be fantastic considering what we're all going through right now, fellas.
Well, we love you, man, and we love checking in with you. We're going to continue to do so. I'm sure when the Broncos go head-to-head with the Raiders, we'd love to have you back on. And you could, of course, use Stoker myself as a resource for you out there in Vegas. And, I mean, you know how we feel about you, man. We absolutely love you, and we hope the very, very best things come your way, man.
Oh, thank you so much, fellas. I love you guys, too, and I miss you guys. I know you're holding it down, even though Stoke gives you a hard time every day, Zach.
he's literally
doing your best. He's doing your best. And, no, I appreciate you guys having me on. Steve and everybody, man, you guys are the best, and I can't wait to follow your work and certainly chop it up come football season.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.